Accession number 31467, Mr. Tom Hanley, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about, the time before you joined up. What about, did you follow the progress of the war? I mean, you couldn't be in it, you were in a reserved occupation.
Well, we didn't know what was going on at all, except that you'd heard about the BEF and all that. And it meant very little to us, really, because we didn't have to do anything. It was nothing we could do to go and collect the men from Dunkirk or anything like that. There was nothing we could do. And then the air raid started. That did affect. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do any fighting, I'd rather do it sitting down. So I thought I'd like to have become a pilot straight away and get up there with all those chaps up there. And of course, it took me some time to realise that that wasn't possible.
Now, when did you first start to think that? I mean, tell me a bit more about your decision making. I mean, because most people end up in the infantry, don't they? I mean,
yeah.
So why were you determined to join as a pilot in the RAF? What attracted you to it?
Well, we always seemed to be, Romford being near Hornchurch and quite close to North Weald, we always had aeroplanes in our skies, always, and it was no change for us to see aeroplanes. It was just more exciting to see monoplanes rather than biplanes, because up to then there'd be all Hawker Furies and Hawker Demons and those sort of aeroplanes. So it seemed a natural progression for me to go and do something about it. I've got to go into something.
Now, and it was as a pilot you were interested in?
Yes.
Not as a gunner or bomber or navigator?
No,
what was it about pilot that attracted you? I mean, I think it's obvious, but just tell us.
Well, you have control of the plane. It's yours. And I didn't want anybody else with me, preferably.
Now, how did you go about joining? Because you were in a reserved occupation. You only have this one loophole, don't you? So how did you actually join up?
I went to the recruiting office in... Oh, I don't know what the name of the road was now. I know where it was. Near Cotton's Recreation Ground. And said I wanted to join the Air Force as a pilot. Oh yes, and I was taken in and given various tests to do. I found the filling your lungs and blowing into a pipe which blew mercury up so far 60 millimetres, I think it was, and you had to hold it there for a full minute. And I only made it on the third attempt. But I made it. And they said, we'll be writing to you. And I went away and went back to work.
What about eyesight tests, colour blindness, that kind of thing?
Oh, I suppose I must have had those. Yes, those, they've got a certain name. I can't remember what they are. But you can, it's a picture. And you could see a figure 2 if you were naturally sighted. If you were something else, you might have seen something else or not seen anything at all. Outstanding. Yes, I was tested for colour blindness. I was never tested for depth perception, which I heard about later. Which I think is far more important in depth perception, because you fly the plane, as I now know, to within a few feet of the ground and let it sink. Do you level it out at 20 feet or do you level it out at 2 feet? It makes a big difference to the aeroplane.
Now, so you went through the test. Now, when was this that you tried to join up?
1941.
And do you know the month?
It was the tail end of I'm trying to realise when it was. Must have been late 40 or 41, because I remember spending my last week when I'd left the chemical firm, and I'd been told I got to go to somewhere, report to St John's Wood in London, and I spent a whole week mooching about the house, eating fruit, tomatoes and pears. They were on the go in the garden. I spent the whole time doing that, and then I went into, actually joined the Air Force. Must have been late August, September.
41. So round about August 41.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Now, so what did your employer think when you left?
Oh, it's...
Did they mind, or...?
No, didn't mind. And I told them I was going into the Air Force as a pilot. And that was it. I just left.
Now, you then went to the Recruit Reception Centre at... well, it's based at Lord's. It's Aircrew, actually, isn't it? Reception Centre.
Aircrew Reception. ACRC, that's right. Aircrew Reception Centre.
And now, what you'd been a civilian up till then.
Yes.
And suddenly you're not. Suddenly, what is the reception like? How do they treat you as they get over that bit of changing you?
Well, you go along and you get issued with uniform.
Now, what do you remember what they gave you? Because it's all changed a lot.
Well, trousers and jacket. And a hat, the main things. I don't know whether I got a great coat then or whether that was issued later. I can't remember. And fortunately, I was the right shape for my uniform, put it that way. I didn't have to have anything shortened, but it had to be tailored a bit. But I can remember we were suddenly told one Friday night, you're free to... free now until Sunday morning. And I thought, well, I'm not far away, I'll go home. I went home, and the first person I met coming down the road was a wing commander. I had no idea what I was doing about saluting, but I don't know if I was waving goodbye or what, but he grinned and smiled and responded. And I went home and spent that night in my mother's house.
Now, where were you accommodated? Was it in those flats?
In flats, yeah.
What were they like?
They seemed vast buildings to me at the time. And we used to have our... what do they call it? Our mess hall was actually in London Zoo.
Sticking to the flat, so how many to a room? I mean, was it furnished, or what was it like in there?
Oh, no, it was a small single room, it would have been, in an ordinary... should have been a single bedroom.
And how many in there?
Six.
So crowded. In bunk beds?
In bunk beds, yes. And most of the time we followed our noses and did what everybody else did. But then one day we had... a fella came along with a long pointed needle and injected us, whereupon half the community dived on their beds and went to sleep or went just moaned.
What effect? I mean, firstly, what was it? How they used the same needle again and again in those days, didn't they? I mean, how, what was it like being actually vaccinated or inoculated? There is a difference, I'm not sure what it is.
Well, that first inoculation was in the chest, I remember. And everybody felt very unusual.
In what way?
In you felt wrong inside. Something was going on inside your body. You couldn't seem to get rid of it. And
so most of it, now, did they have an effect on you, the ones in your arms?
Not very much, no. Except, you know, there was a fellow in front of me. He was a big chap, and we all had to roll up our sleeves, and off we went, you know, like this. Well, they did something, and he was a wiry individual, and his body must have been made of that, because when it came to his turn, the needle was pressed and it went into his arm, but it didn't. It bent and snapped off. Whereupon the owner of the arm probably fainted.
So anything, did you start doing drill? I believe they did do some drill.
Oh yes.
Was that at Lord's, or where were you drilling?
No, we didn't do much drill there. We did a little bit of drill outside, just outside in the street. But the vaccinations had a marked effect on the number of people who went down for the meal that evening. About half the number. And when we got there, it was cheese on toast, no, Welsh rabbit. And we were actually offered a second helping. It was unheard of. Oh yes, please. And some of them even had a third. You know? And I had been told that it gets as much food inside you as possible. So I did do that.
What was the food like generally, as far as you were concerned?
It was quite good, quite tasty. Never enough of it.
That was the biggest problem.
That was the problem. Yes, never a lot of it. You had what you were given, and that was it.
But and the standard of food was all right.
Oh yes.
No. Now, anything else you did at there? You went there in. We've just looked up your date. We've got your Christmas tea. You went there in September 1941, which is,
yes,
you know, as you said. Now, anything else happened while you were there? Any tests or anything? Or any training?
That's where we did our the colour. I remember doing colour testing there, colour blindness. I remember that, but
which we talked about earlier. So
yes.
There we go. Now, so the next thing is that then you go in October. So you know you're there. You're only there about 2 weeks because you go very late September and into October. So number 11 Infantry Training Wing at Scarborough. Where you're there for a couple of months to December. Now, what was happening at number? What was the setup there?
Oh, it was ITW.
I said infantry. Initial.
Yes.
Sorry, a terrible.
Initial
sorry.
Training wing.
Now, what was going on there? What's the setup there?
Mainly drill. Mainly getting fitted out. But your best pair of boots had to be handed in so they could be completely covered with nails all over the sole, and a horseshoe shaped piece on the boot so you could make a good clatter as you banged your feet on the ground, you know, ten, shon, click.
Now, how did you take to drill? What did you think of it? I mean,
well, it was all right. It was quite easy to do, provided you all did it together. That's what it amounted to. And I was on the front row, as it turns out. That was sheer chance. And you put your arms out to dress and shuffle and get into the right place. And then we'd turn and march off. And you had to keep your eye and ear open to keep straight, because the others were depending on you. And we marched up and down, and we got better and better.
Did you understand the point of drill at the time?
No, I don't think I did. I don't think I understood that it was doing me good. Except, no, I don't think, it didn't occur to me that you're doing it to make you obey orders.
But you didn't rebel against it, you just did
it. No, we just did it because we wanted to get on with the flying side of things.
That's not what you're doing at ITW, though. Right?
No.
What about PT? Was there much of that?
Yes.
What kinds of PT and how did you...
We used to go for cross-country runs on the Scarborough Cliffs.
What was that like?
It was... Right. I didn't like it. I don't like walking or running. Not long distances. But I got through it all right. It was very interesting one day because we had to stop. Because there was a German plane dropping bombs over there. And we could see a German tip-and-run raid, really, I suppose. And this bloke killed two rabbits. That's all.
Now, was there any other forms of PT? So it's running. What else?
Oh, exercises. The jumping exercises.
Assault course?
Pardon?
Assault course at all?
No. No.
Did it improve your physical fitness?
Yes.
Yours? It did, so it worked?
Yes. I gained about a stone in weight in the 6 weeks that I think, or about that.
In muscle, though, not...
In muscle. Oh, yes, pure muscle.
Now, so drill, PT, anything else you're doing there?
A lecture or two, but not very much.
What were the lectures on?
Well, somebody tried to teach us navigation rather unsuccessfully because he was not a good lecturer. I've since regarded
him. In what way? What was wrong with him?
Well, he couldn't make the points clear. But because I was reasonably good at maths, I could see the point of parallel rulers and that sort of thing, which you... And really, he was plotting the course of bombers rather than fighters. Because I never did any of that sort of thing at all when we had fighters.
Now, any other lectures on any other subjects?
I suppose there must have been, but I can't clearly remember anything of them.
I think they used to normally do a bit of aircraft recognition at ITW. Do you remember that at Scarborough?
Oh, I remember aircraft recognition.
Tell me about that.
It didn't take any effect. I mean, to me, it's automatic to be able to recognise different things. To be able to recognise a liberator from a flying fortress. Whereas both my daughters, I can't start the car or phone the garage. So she phones the garage. My mother's Mini won't start. What sort of a Mini is it? It's a red one, she says. No idea of concept of size, shape, or anything else.
But for you, it's automatic.
But it's automatically, yes.
So you didn't gain a lot from aircraft recognition.
Well,
how did they teach you, or try and teach you?
Flash things on a screen, lovely. And we had to do it when we were trained pilots flying operational aircraft. That's when we had to do it.
Okay, we'll come back to that then. So yes. Anything else you did at Scarborough?
No.
Now the next thing...
Just bull...
Sorry?
Bull stroke.
So how much bull was there? Because, I mean, the RAF's not famous for its bull. What level were you doing?
The only bull I enjoyed was when we got... Certain members were singled out who got a natural rhythm in their feet and could march in time all the time. And there were some who couldn't.
Oh, so this is drill again. So I thought by bull you meant...
That's right, drill again. And then we take them out and leave those who could do it as a demonstration squad. This is sea flight and here comes sea flight. And, you know, we were in it. And
were you in that?
I was in that, yes. And then they made us distinctive when we came home by giving us a white belt, not a blue belt, and we had our white flashes in our caps, and that picked us out as being very distinctive.
Now, you were there till December, and then you go to number 15 Elementary Flying Training School at Carlisle, and you're there for 3 weeks.
Over the Christmas period, isn't it?
That's it. Now, what's happening at number 15 Elementary Flying Training School?
I think we did about 8 hours flying in Magisters to see if we took to it, or whether we were naturally repulsed against it.
Now, what do you remember of your first flight? I mean, it was in a Magister. It's an air experience flight, usually.
Yes, but I think we did spinning.
I think spinning's in the third one, but it's underlined in red. But what were your first flights like? What do you remember? I mean, you wanted to do this for a fair bit now. What was it like?
God, it's cold. Because it was cold that winter. And I never seemed to be able to get warm. I was billeted out, as a lot of us, most of us were, in a big Victorian-type house. Very nice house, but I had a little room upstairs that hadn't seen above zero temperatures for some days. And the only way it got warm anywhere was for me to go to bed and cover myself up. And I was there for the whole of the 3 weeks and received one cup of tea.
So they weren't very hospitable, billet owners.
In fact, I felt better off out of it.
Now, tell me about your first flight there. First flight's December the 16th, 1941. What was it like in that moment? Can you remember it?
Oh, yes, I can remember it.
Tell us, was it exciting?
Yes, to me. I thought, oh, this is good. You're going up. I felt the wheels lift. I had nothing to do with that, of course, to start with. And I thought, it was just to give you air experience so you could look down and see houses that are normally house size, looking like matchboxes, and also the going up and coming down didn't affect at any time.
Now, what about your instructor, which was Pilot Officer Golding? What was he like? Do you remember him? I mean, was he a good instructor?
As far as I can't remember him at all.
Okay, right. So, how do they start you off then? There seems to be, it's dual instruction, and there's five or six flights taking you through the various things, straight and level flying, the rest of it. How do you take to this?
Well, it didn't seem too difficult to me. The actual flying, you were sitting there with your feet on the rudder bars and your hand on the joystick and this hand on the throttle. It was like that even up to the typhoons.
Right hand on the
right hand on the stick.
Left hand on the
throttle.
And so take me through the basic controls then you've got. Basic instruments and controls. Just explain their function if you can.
Your feet on a rudder bar, which if you kicked to the left, you bent the aircraft to the left. But it probably wouldn't go very well that way because until you banked a little bit, that meant pushing the stick over a little bit as well. And the skill was to balance one against the other so that you followed the horizon round and you didn't sideslip in or skate out. That was the basic thing. And that's your feet. Left hand is on a crude lever, which is the throttle, and that's the basic stop and start mechanism. Forward, that's where the plane goes. Backwards, it stops the engine. It doesn't actually stop it, it takes it down to idle speed, and you get no thrust from it at all. And in the right hand is the joystick. which was just a stick in those early planes. A stick. Push the control forward. Pull it back, you go up. Same.
Side to side, you bank, you said.
Whatever.
And if you press it forward, you go down.
Press forward, you dive. Yeah. Pull it back, you climb.
And is that fundamentally it for
controls? That's fundamentally it.
Now, what about instruments? I mean, there was a set layout, I think, in those days.
Yeah, there was a set layout.
It might be difficult to remember them all, but tell me some of the instruments you remember.
There was a turn and bank indicator.
What does that mean?
What I was trying to explain in that first time, you've got to put on so much turn so that the aircraft continues at the same height. Because if you've got too much bank, your side slip down. If not enough, the plane will skate off to the right.
Just turn and bank indicator.
Turn and bank indicator indicated whether the aircraft was doing either a side slip or a side slip outwards or a slip inwards.
That's that one. What else?
This is your engine rev counter.
That shows you how the engine's responding to your throttle.
Yes. There's the airspeed indicator. It's the altimeter.
Does the altimeter go from the ground or does it go from naught, which is entirely different?
You set it. It's an air pressure device, really. It measures the air pressure. The higher you go, I forget what the ratio was now. You go up 300 feet, you lose. I can't remember it now.
But that's how it works.
You know, it's somewhere on an aeroplane, there is a thing called a pitot head, which is an open tube facing the way you're going. And that will tell you now pitot head, what does that do? Because it's the air pressing into it. It should tell you how fast you're going.
I think that's the speed thing, yeah.
Yeah, air speed indicator.
Any other instruments?
I must have missed one because there's six.
Well, let's not worry about it now. So that's your basic instruments on your panel.
Yes, that's what you've got. That's all you've got. Oh, did I say a rev counter? Or the others might be engine instruments. Oil pressure.
I didn't say that.
Oil pressure or something like that.